I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6 and verse 9. In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. And this evening we have come to the petition which is found in verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the heart of this petition teaches us how important it is for us to know something about ourselves. And by that I mean a vulnerability. These two dependent requests, do not lead us into temptation, deliver us from the evil one, they recognize our vulnerability and our weakness in this inescapable battle that we will have. For as long as we are here upon this earth, we will have to do battle with the evil one. And if we turn to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, and in verse 31, we have the account of the Lord's conversation here and teaching to Peter, whereupon he calls him here Simon. Simon Peter. And the Lord said in Luke 22 verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And so the first point we need to remind ourselves this evening is the purpose of this petition. It's a recognition that we, in and of ourselves, are vulnerable. And we need God's help. We need God's protection. We need God to help us and strengthen us in our battle against the evil one and against temptation. There's a scene from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and it portrays interpreter bringing Christian to a wall where fire is blazing from a grate. And the man is trying to douse the fire with water. And then interpreter shows Christian the other side of the wall where another man is secretly pouring oil on the fire to keep it ablaze. And interpreter says, you saw the man standing behind the wall to maintain the fire, teaching you that it is hard for the tempted to see how this work of grace is maintained in the soul. Satan is trying to quench the faith, but Christ keeps it alive. It's Christ that keeps our soul alive. No man can keep alive his own soul. And so this is how we must approach this petition here. It is a recognition of our vulnerability. And at this point in the Lord's Prayer, we are acknowledging to our Father in heaven that we cannot cope without his help. Is this in your thinking when you pray? Do you pray with an element of pride where you think, well, I'm praying to the Father, but I'm pretty much certain I can get through this situation and I can deal with Satan. I know how to deal with him. I have enough experience in life to attack Satan, to defend myself against Satan, against his attacks. Well, this prayer is actually saying, no, actually, we need our Father in heaven's help. We cannot cope without his help. The reality then of our vulnerability in and of ourselves should lead us to ask our Father in heaven to strengthen and defend us. Our weakness and vulnerability is not an excuse for sin against temptation. It is a reason to pray for strength to resist temptation. And we know that God has promised that he will strengthen us if we seek his face. In Ephesians 3:16, we read that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And so there is a promise. There is a prayer that we can pray, seeking God's help, the help of his Holy Spirit, that we might be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that we might be able to resist. You remember some while ago I used this illustration of a submarine and a fish which is right down in the depths of the sea. And a submarine, you know, has to be armor plated, because the deeper it goes down, the more the pressure upon the walls of the submarine, the sides of the submarine. If it wasn't strong, it would implode, it would be crushed. But if you were to take a camera and you see at the bottom of the sea and all that pressure, are these thousands and thousands of fish just swimming about, apparently with very thin skins. But evidently the pressure within the fish is greater than the pressure outside the fish in their particular size of the body. And there's a lesson for us there. If we are to resist temptation, if we are to resist the evil one, we need strength within. It's not about armor plating our bodies and doing all sorts of legalistic things to try and resist the devil. We need to avail ourselves of the means of grace. We need to avail ourselves of those things which are right and correct in their resistance to the devil. But without the Holy Spirit's enabling, without being strengthened with might by his Spirit in inner person, without that strength within, we will lack the resistance without. And so Paul says later in Ephesians 6:10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then he speaks in the same vein, writes in the same vein to the church at Colossae, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power." And then he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1, "Be strong, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And there is another aspect here in this petition. It is to respect the problem of sin in our lives, the problem of temptation. We live in a world which has succeeded to a large extent in desensitizing sin. What shocked society 50 years ago in sinful lifestyle is now an accepted part of life. In fact, it is even promoted as a part of life. But the truth of the Lord's Prayer remains. They remain as temptations and sins. And this petition underlines a serious and sensitive approach to the problem of evil and its source. Notice the order here in this prayer. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgiveness of sin is followed by a sensibility about sin. That's very important. If we value our forgiveness, if we value something of the cross of Christ, and we value there something of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, that will not only create a forgiving spirit to those who have sinned against us, but it would lead to a sensitivity about sin, an awareness of the danger of sin and temptation, an appreciation of forgiveness of sin will show itself in a sensitivity towards sin. And so these are just some opening remarks. We come now to this, particularly to this verse. Do not lead us into temptation. Now it's very important that we do not misunderstand, friends, what Jesus is teaching us in this part of our prayer. God is never the author of sin. So this prayer does not imply in any way that God would at any time entice his people into temptation for evil ends. If we turn to the letter of James, we have scriptural teaching on this very matter. In James chapter 1 verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Tertullian, the second century theologian, wrote once, Far be it that the Lord should seem to tempt as if he were either ignorant of the limits of somebody's faith or else eager to overthrow that faith. So we need to move that away from any negative connotation of this text in our mind towards God, because God is holy, God is righteous in all his ways, God is love, God is our heavenly Father, and he knows what is best for us. These are the ways in which we should approach this text, and so we need to recognize that there has to be a teaching here that is fits in the golden framework of God's glorious character. And so this word temptation here, do not lead us into temptation, in the original has two particular meanings. The first meaning does mean an enticement to sin. And this either comes from the devil, or it comes from our own wicked hearts by nature, our own flesh, our own old nature. It either comes from the devil or ourselves. It never, ever comes from God. The second meaning of the word here refers to us being tested. And both the meanings of being tempted and tested are found within this petition. So an example of this can be seen in the Holy Spirit leading Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, and we'll see the double exercise of this meaning, temptation. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So God led him as the perfect man into a place of temptation in the wilderness, knowing that as he was led into the wilderness, he would be tempted by the devil. And so in verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And so God in his sovereign permissive will so ordained that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be subject to 40 days of temptation from the evil one. He permitted it to be so. He was not the author of the evil one. He was not the author of evil. He was not the author of temptation inasmuch as it came from the devil. But he did permit the Lord Jesus Christ to endure it. Why was this? Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ would never, ever fall to temptation because he was perfect and holy. It was an utter impossibility for Christ to fall under temptation. So why this exercise? It was for us. Everything that Christ did here upon this earth was not for his own well-being. It was for God's glory And it was for us. His life of obedience was a sacrifice of obedience for us. His sufferings on the cross were the sufferings for us. So here we have an example. The Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan came and tempted him in the wilderness, he could have destroyed, he could have just sent the devil away. He could have just, in a moment, he could have called a legion of angels to protect him. He could have done all these sort of things. But he didn't. He endured temptation. And he did it for us. And he used a means that we can use this evening. He used the word of God. If you will notice at the end of this temptation, when it was really at its height, as far as we could ascertain here in Scripture, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread." Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written." So here we are, friends. Jesus endured this, and he showed us the pattern. How are we going to resist the evil one? By the Spirit of God, using the Word of God. This is our great resistance against the evil one. We know Paul speaks about the armor of God, of course, but all the aspects of the armor are revealed to us through God's word. So we need this sword of the Spirit, we need the word of God, and we need to say to the devil, "It is written, I have a shield of faith, I have a breastplate of righteousness, I am girded with the belt of truth, I have a helmet of salvation." We need to tell the devil, it's written in God's word. And the Lord Jesus went through this for us. And he set this wonderful example for us. And so we see this double aspect. Satan meant it for evil. Satan wanted to overcome and destroy the Messiah and make him take away his witness. So Satan meant it for evil, but God overruled it and brought out amazing blessing for time. Till the end of time, we'll wonder and marvel and be encouraged by the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see the double meaning. Satan saw this temptation as an enticement to sin and disobey God. God saw it and ordained it and allowed it, permitted it, as an example of a person being tested what to do when we're being tested in such a way. So while God never entices to evil, he does in his permissive will lead his people into a place where they are tested by temptation. So whether testing or the enticement of the devil, God can overrule the experience for our sanctification. So when we consider this petition, let us remember the connection between being tested and temptation. There is a connection here. When we enter trials ordained by God, they are for our spiritual growth. And when Satan comes at the same time and tempts us to doubt God's love and God's wisdom, God is allowing those experiences to mature us spiritually. Satan is tempting us to destroy us. So if we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And you see again, you see this incredible teaching here regarding temptation, trials, and teaching and being tested. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, we may ask the question then, if God can use such experiences like testing and temptation for our sanctification. Why is it that Jesus is teaching us here to ask Father, our Father in heaven, not to be led into such an experience? Lead us not into temptation. Are we not praying against a good thing? It comes back to our introduction. When we recognize our vulnerability, we are seeking our Heavenly Father's help not to allow us to be in a situation of temptation where we will fall in our own strength. Do not allow us to be tempted in our own strength, we might translate this. Do not let us enter into a situation where we are going to be overcome by the evil one. It teaches us that we cannot overcome temptation in our own strength. And the second part of the temptation, of the petition, provides the answer. We need God's help to deliver us from evil. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so it is really a recognition of our utter dependence upon God. Do not lead us into temptation where we will dishonor God. But if we are in God's permissive will, under a time of testing and temptation, may we be delivered from the evil one, that we might be in this experience for God's glory. Deliver us from the evil one. It is a prayer then for God's keeping power. If we turn again to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Now you remember, perhaps I shared with you a little while ago about visiting a dear brother who was coming towards the end of his pilgrimage here on earth, and he was struggling with assurance, and the Lord delivered him in an amazing way just before he died. And his eldest son, this afternoon at this funeral service, he stood up, and he knew how the Lord had kept his father and delivered him and brought him into peace in his heart. And this is the verse he quoted: "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We need to be kept, friends. We need to be kept. We need to be protected from the evil one. So there needs to be a sensitivity towards sin, a realization of the great danger of sin, the great danger of temptation. Do not lead us into temptation is a realization that we recognize the danger of it. We recognize our own vulnerability, and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil is a recognition that we need God to protect us and bring us through, because Satan is the greatest enemy of the Christian. He is a roaring lion. We read in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 that the devil goes about like a roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then this awful foe, the devil, is not always like an angel of light. Sometimes we might think of it in this way, using picture language, that is personification of evil. The devil comes with a smile on his face, and it's like he's coming as an angel of light. And Paul said about the false apostles, the deceitful workers, and they come as though they are apostles of Christ. They are so deceitful, and they can present themselves so so respectably as though they were like even the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of life, an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What a solemn text that is. If someone has got to the stage where they are really a servant of the evil one, yet they're presenting themselves a minister of righteousness. And we need to be aware of the danger of the devil. And that will help us to understand the depth of this prayer. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. We cannot play with this evil one. He's either a roaring lion or he's an angel of light. He's the arch deceiver. And something else I want to tell you this evening, friends, about the devil. Something else we must understand about the devil. The devil is the father of lies. The father of lies. Whatever the devil is saying to you in your mind, perhaps even this evening or today, he may be troubling you with all sorts of things. And I want you to remember this evening, he's a liar. Jesus said, you, talking to the Pharisees who were so deceived in their own theology at the time and so opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't pussyfoot about with them, you know. He didn't sort of try and deal with them with platitudes. Listen to what he said to them. Because they were deceivers and they were not speaking the truth. And he said something very strong to them. He said, you are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. And that's why it's so important for us to stand in the truth. And so sometimes when we stand in the truth and stand for the truth, we're accused of being dogmatic, of being legalistic, of being lacking love, and all this sort of thing. Well, we do need to speak the truth in love. But sometimes standing for the truth requires a great firmness, and it can be misunderstood. And Jesus speaks so firmly here. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him, the devil. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Friends, we really need to understand this evening the danger of sin, the power of temptation, our own vulnerability in and of ourselves, and we need to cry out to the Lord. Do not lead us into temptation. Do not let us protect us. Do not let us be overcome by our own waywardness, our own propensity to sin, the way in which we open our minds and our hearts to temptation. Deliver us, Lord. Lead us not into a situation where we will fall and backslide. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If we're in these situations, if we are in these situations, deliver us from the evil one. And so, when we consider this text, we need to understand that the devil tempts with an evil end. The devil tempts with an evil end. He wants to destroy you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to murder you. He's a murderer from the beginning. He knows nothing about the truth. He is the greatest enemy that we have. But God even in a situation of temptation, even in a situation where we're in being tested, God can take that very experience, help us to resist, and use it for our sanctification and deliver us from the evil one. So when we think of this text, remember that God is pure in all his ways, and God can even use the attacks of the evil one and sanctify them in our soul as he delivers us from the evil one, as he preserves us. Deliver us from evil situations. Deliver us from evil experiences. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. You remember how John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides, and one night hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. And Patton and his wife prayed during the terror-filled night that God would deliver them. And when daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. They just left. A year later, the chief of that tribe, the attackers, was converted to Christ. And remembering what had happened, John Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. Why did you walk away? And the chief replied in surprise, well, who were all those men with you there? And Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. And, God protected him. God delivered him. God delivered him from evil. So like the testing and the temptation, we can note this double meaning to this phrase. Deliver us from the evil one, and the original also means deliver us from evil. Satan was permitted by God to attack Job with evil. You remember all the difficult things that came upon Job, but in God's time he delivered Job from the evil one. And so God used that experience for Job for his intense sanctification and spiritual growth. Well, when we consider the Lord's Prayer, we speak the word sincerely in prayer. We may be sure that Satan will come from time to time to tempt us regarding its content. He might come and ask us, as we're praying to our Father in heaven, is God really a loving heavenly Father? Is holiness such a pressing priority? Is there really an everlasting kingdom? Is God's will good and for our good? Can we trust God to meet our material needs? Is it really necessary to be sensitive to sin? Do we literally have to forgive others if we are to be forgiven in our walk with the Lord? Satan will come with all sorts of horrible, negative, unholy questions. But remember our vulnerability. But remember how much we depend upon the grace of God in our life. And when we come to a petition like this, remember what the Lord Jesus said. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation.